John in Canada. Hello, John.
Hey, John, how's it going?
It's going well.
Yeah, well, you know, geez, it's hard to begin because we're so confusing. There's so many things going on here. As you're well aware, and many of the fans of RBN are also, we know, you know, the financial instruments of which we are living under are corrupt. And if you look back in history, there's a documentary called Money Masters. It's a three-hour documentary. It shows you all through history, it's always been the same battle. But you as a... Yeah, you and many of the fans of RBN are somewhat aware of the fact that the bankers aren't covering the loan, and it's a big scam. They're not putting in a penny, and yet some of them, as was reported on Frontline, are trillionaires. Friends of Greenspan's are actual trillionaires, and yet the TV tells the general public, oh, you got to bail these guys out, and really, it's a scam because they're not informing you. So we're aware of this kind of machination with our media. And so I wanted to just introduce that as something that you recognize, and many of your listeners do also, to realize that that form, let's just call it a form of tyranny, exists in other realms too that a lot of people aren't aware of either. In respect to justice, or freedom is justice, and justice is a property of reason for the individual. If you make an allegation against somebody and you have no evidence to formulate anybody's conclusion, the accused is an innocent person, no matter what, no matter how bad you say he is or how horrible he is. So you were talking about Ron Paul, and I don't want to waste, I don't want to take myself off my argument, but you talked about state control and that, and that's important. But it's also critically important for Americans to understand that once it had been revealed by the FBI that the 9/11 terrorist attack, where thousands of Americans were murdered, after the FBI had revealed to our world that it was financed by General Mahmoud Ahmad, who was at the White House 2 days prior to 9/11 and also was the individual sent to the Taliban to let them know no evidence will be brought against the accused, the Bush administration immediately worked to close all outstanding criminal investigations, according to Tom Daschle on Tim Russert's Meet the Press. So there's no argument to be made but to know that for some psychological reason, people can't deal with the fact that your rights are sacrificed right there by Bush not allowing you to further apprehend the actual evildoers who are going to get, as they are, getting away scot-free with this mass murder. You're denied no matter what. So you can talk about you know, what we have to do on the ground in our own community, but when Bush commands the head of the FBI and the CIA to obey his authority, or maybe go to prison, or
okay, but to stop right there.
Sure.
These are agencies, and the agents that are operating under these agencies thereof, they have no power.
They have
assumed the power. And they're still trying to convince people.
Right.
Hang on a second.
Sure.
Against the break. Jim Owen King called in. I hope he can play his little clip on the air because I can't get his to open up for me. We'll take the break. We'll be right back. Hang on, John. We'll be back with you.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Yeah, John in Canada, first of all, I understand what you're saying here.
Okay.
But what we have been led to believe, and what has been literally pounded in our head, that these people have, and I wonder if John in Utah is still listening, we've had this pounded in our head that these are the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
That the FBI and the CIA, and they have authority, and they can come at you with guns and badges, and they're hanging judges in their federal courts.
Right.
Now, the key to this thing here is that the state, to tell the Fed that, look, what you're doing is not constitutional, it's illegal, it's immoral, it's unethical, and a bunch of other unthings.
Yeah.
That they're going to keep claiming that they have the authority to do this to each man, woman, and child's death in this country if need be.
Yeah, and that is actually what I'm saying. President Bush is essentially pirating the authority of the CIA and the FBI. Under normal circumstances, if he was obeying the law, that would be his responsibility to orchestrate, the directions, perhaps in some respect, the directions of where they're going. But it's an excellent case study that we have right now, because we have somebody from the CIA who's come forward and and said the Bush administration doctored the national intelligence estimate on invading Iraq. So we have the both versions. We have the version that Bush lied about, saying this is what the CIA says, and then we have an actual CIA officer going, no, Bush lied to you. He doctored page 8, and this is Bugliosi's arguments for impeachment. So you have that, but then you have the other side, the evil side. The evil side is when Bush says, we're doing a criminal investigation right now, and what we're doing is we're trying to find out who told the American public that Bush had a strategy to send a plane up over Iraq, painted in UN colors, and shoot it out of the sky. I guess the members of the Air Force would have likely been murdered there as a way to justify a criminal war against Iraq for his benefit. And guess what? It's reported on CNN, or it's reported in places where they'll say, you know, they are doing a criminal investigation, not to arrest Bush as a traitor, but to find out who tried to inform the American public on what the true state of reality is in your suffering state.
They're trying to blow the whistle on the whistleblower, which is the guy that should be protected. And
right.
Don't shoot the messenger. Listen to the message.
Right. And every soldier takes an oath to God and country, and it's unfortunate that very few of them have the mental dexterity to speak out for what the protections of the Constitution provide to every soul. You know, so they don't unfortunately have the skills. And instead obey orders and die as a consequence. Well, as I say, like the evildoers escape red-handed or covered in blood, thinking there's no way possible.
And initially, at the outset of your phone call, you said that, you know, the bankers, you know, they got trillions of dollars and they're crying the blues.
They're running everything.
Yeah, well, they are. And what you're seeing is the ultimate power grab here for the Fed Reserve and their cronies to really lock down and take control to the point of nationalizing the supposed debt that they got us into.
Right.
And they're going to put it on the backs of the taxpayers.
I think they're going to fail. I think they're going to fail because I myself can make them fail if I can get enough people to support the same principles that I do. Just understand that three friends of Greenspan have more than $1 trillion. They've never done a favor for any American citizen. You just keep giving them money blindly because it's a very difficult subject for people to comprehend what the nature of currency is to the marketplace. But I can explain it's not that difficult, but the important thing is to know is these guys haven't put in a red cent, and they're trillionaires, and the guy's got the front line showed his house. It's a house built of Italian marble. You know, I can't remember, something like 50,000 square feet or something like this, and the guy just smiles at you. Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Exactly. And this is the criminality that is running this country, and it's got a stranglehold on all the other cronies that are willing to settle and to sell out America.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what they're doing. And I've said this before, that every seat in Congress since that act of 1913 was passed, the Federal Reserve Act, you know, it's one thing to make a mistake. Anybody can make a mistake. But the mistake of not correcting the mistake is absolutely horrendous. And every seat in Congress since 1913 has been in that error for not correcting the original error.
Yeah, the main thing is accountability. People have to be held to account, and to get accountability, you need leadership. And the TV isn't allowing honorable men to run for political office, even in the case of state elections. I mean, you had the one guy that Rove sent off to prison. Hopefully, there'll be a backlash. Well, Rove will go to jail, but I don't know. Somebody was just arrested trying to make a citizen's arrest of Rove. So instead of arresting Rove, they arrested the guys who are trying to arrest Rove. And Rove is a criminal in 50 different ways.
I understand.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate your call.
All right.
Yeah, and until such time, and this is what people don't get, you know, that the education process is going on in this country, all across this country, through many people, through many different avenues. This is an educational process, and we will get to the place, folks.
I appreciate you calling the show. We do have a break coming up at the bottom of the hour, but we got a few minutes to monkey with here. What would you like to say?
I think the Internet's bringing about a new potential reality that we haven't quite arrived at yet, but from my perspective, here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, we can see a rather unique situation where we have people who are committed to the public good or a public cause, and some of the world's greatest writers are freely at our perusal anytime we click a mouse to get their latest installments, and then we compare it to our local newspapers, and we go, there's something seriously lacking. In Winnipeg, we can see that the newspaper is interested in their private profit, so they're not so much committed to defending our community. And an interesting story I wanted to tell you is I guess you could call me a bit of a mathematician, and I'm also very much familiar with computer programming, and I had years ago had seen that there were some serious discrepancies with our lotteries, which is directly connected to the newspaper profit margins. And the opposition party at the time, which was the NDP, I contacted, and they were, you know, trying to vie for leadership positions, and cooperated with me fully and provided me all the evidence I needed. And I discovered that, yes, indeed, there's a mathematical scam that's taking place. It's kind of shocking if you guys aren't too familiar with it, but it's happening in the United States also, where they substitute credits for dollars and can essentially take any percentage of the dollar deposited and promise any return. And I've worked out the math, and it's a huge scam, and it's costing all of us hundreds of billions of dollars. But I find, you know, and the opposition party at that time gave me most of my strongest evidence in respect to these allegations. But the newspaper would never report it. We only have one newspaper in a province exceeding a million people, and each province is pretty much the same. We have other sort of tabloid kind of regs that don't really get into any kind of political discussions, but one newspaper and one radio station that doesn't take any open line calls. And both of these institutions profit handsomely off our suffering, because it is a huge detriment to our society because it's a regressive system. But once the opposition party got into power, Gary Doer's our premier, he couldn't do anything either at that time. He was even opposed to it when he was running in opposition. But once he got into power, his discussions with me were, you know, I can't take a public position on this now that I'm premier, because the newspaper will turn against the party and we'll have what we had prior. And you guys, you know, I don't want to get too much into the politics here, but it's very similar to a lot of other states and provinces, where the party that replaced the old party is better in a lot of respects. The other party had stolen. It is in some instances it's actually a criminal theft. They stole our public utilities. They said we're not going to sell it when they ran for office, as it was suspected. And as soon as they got into power, they stole our telephone company and did a whole bunch of other disastrous actions that hurt us miserably or terribly. And so his position is he can't even take a position knowing that we're being victimized by this one single newspaper that takes in hundreds of millions of dollars. I've worked there actually for about a year or so, and it's amazing. You guys, I don't know if you're familiar with the newspaper business, but they're taking in serious coin, you know, serious money. And, you know, we only have one newspaper, and there's a million people living here. So everybody, if you want to find out what is going on, you're going to be paying, you know, $1.75 on the weekend and 85 cents, or maybe it's a dollar now on the weekdays. And the shocking thing on top of all this is the newspaper makes money even when they give the newspaper away. It can be profitable for the newspaper to give away free copies because their advertising revenues go up as a consequence. So there's so much geared to the private profits of their shareholders, which don't include our community, which is a terrible thing. And as a consequence, the writers are just horrible. You know, there's a cut. You know, depending on what subject you're talking about, like, they'll cover the sports really well, like your guest is saying. Well, they do that exceptionally. They can do the math there. They can add the scores really well. But when it comes to tax revenues and where our money's coming and going, they put in very little of any effort. And it's a terrible thing. You know, I look at it across Manitoba. I've written on this subject numerous times, and I've contacted people in other provinces. I've talked to people in towns and cities across Canada, and I've talked to mayors. And mayors say, hey, we're losing on this. They're stealing our cash, John. My name's John. And there's nothing we can do about it, you know. But then we see the power of the Internet and our ability to freely express ourselves. And when you're talking about mathematics, you can't dispute the numbers, you know. It's a scam that's being run everywhere. The guy who invented the VLT machine, video lottery terminal, was a Mr. Volker in Las Vegas. And he felt, initially I don't think he realized how the scam was going to go down, but once he discovered that this was taking place, he tried to speak out against it, and somebody assassinated him.
We have a message here, John, coming. Please stay on the line.
Sure.
At the bottom of the hour.
Sure.
Hang on, I want to talk more. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back on RBN with When Worlds Collide.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
And now we have the final half hour of today's broadcast of When Worlds Collide here on RBN. We've been talking to John in Canada about the Winnipeg paper and some of the oddities there. Are you still with us, John?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what?
Thanks.
Yeah, it is quite a shock when people delve into the subject, because you can see how people are manipulated. It's like looking at the inner workings of some mythical monster, perhaps. I don't know. It's a fascinating study, and I'd encourage anybody to look into it. But there's all kinds of interesting things about it. There was a guy in Nova Scotia who sued the province. He said, "Hey, I'm as smart as John is, and I've lost more than $50,000 playing these VLT machines, and it's against the law. They've criminally stolen this money from me, and I want my money back." So he took the province to court and won his case. So the province gave him $50,000, and all across Canada and the United States, and many states, I think Montana, they've made it illegal. There, incidentally, is the state that manufactures most of these VLT machines. But as a consequence of him winning his case, all of a sudden across Canada we had what were called gaming commissions that took the place of the lottery corporations, because lottery was in the name. It's a lottery corporation, but it's not a lottery device. It's a criminal theft, if you understand how the math is done. And it's actually not that complicated. A paper I wrote was called Stand Together or Don't. I wrote it a few years ago, but anybody can access it on the Internet, just as I say, the glorious power of the Internet, and anybody can look it over and review the numbers for yourself. But as I say, I've talked to mayors in Thompson as a city, and La Paz is another city in Manitoba, where the provincial transfers, like how much money the province gives to the city, is less than what's being extracted through the video lottery terminal. So it's a lose situation. If we have these video lottery terminals in our city, these corrupt mafioso guys who don't carry guns, none of them carry guns. Nobody gets murdered here. They're just a form of psychological control. And like I say, one newspaper, one radio station, the vast majority of people who don't look at this subject at all have no clue, and you can see how they're controlled. And the
Let me ask you, John, for the listeners, outline the connection between the newspapers and these VLTs, these video lottery terminals. I'm a little vague, the connection there, but apparently there is one.
Sure. Oh, it's incredible. They'll have full-page ads. Come play the video lottery terminals. Come down to the casino, like the Manitoba Lottery Corporation. And the guys who work there, incidentally, get free cars. That's one of the perks of working there. You get brand-new free cars, and nobody tells where those cars come from. But I'm pretty much assured those are prizes that never got given away to anybody. So it's full-page ads in the newspaper and front-page ads almost every single day. The one radio station that we have that covers any kind of news, the only one in existence, the Manitoba Lotteries Corporation gave them a helicopter. So they have the Manitoba Lotteries helicopter, and they run ads on their radio station every day about how great it is to go out to the lottery, and they sponsor things with the radio station, and they're just dumping as much coinage as they can into there. They're probably giving them free cars. There's so much corruption, it's unbelievable. But that's only, like, it's like the tip of the iceberg, because then you look at Iraq and you go, well, why weren't they reporting the facts that Bush doctored the National Intelligence Estimate? They don't want the public to be enlightened. They don't want us to understand that General Ahmad funded Muhammad Atta, the 9/11 alleged mastermind ringleader of the terrorist event, of no questions. They just tell our soldiers to go out and die in Afghanistan fighting the Taliban. That has absolutely nothing to do with this terrorist crime. If we follow the crime scene, leads at the real murder scene. But to know that they're the scapegoats that Bush used to close criminal investigations immediately after the thing went down. So it's those kind of subjects that they don't want to get into either, or fluoride in our water. In fact, they probably, or no, I should say they encourage the fluoride in our water. They don't want us to be enlightened, as I say, because we defeat them instantly if we could all come together and understand certain principles that we all share indivisibly. But that's too much. People get too fearful. They go, oh, yeah, who's this guy? But pretty soon people are going to get a little bit more familiar with mathematics. And you're going to look in, like, Detroit, for example. These people are suffering. Like, I'd like to speak out for all the black guys out there. Join me in demanding free, open discussion on this subject in respect to the Detroit community is being plundered. I mean, they're just sucking the blood out of the poorest of the poor. And incidentally, the VLT machines, and the way the mathematics is done, they hit the poorest the hardest. They take the very the highest percentage takes they steal. They take from our poorest and most desperate. And I've contacted police organizations. I've contacted the RCMP here in Canada. The thing is, we don't have leadership. It's just like in the States with your Iraq, Afghanistan, 9/11 jobs. You don't have the leadership for people to speak out in our... we're growing. People are becoming informed, as your guest said, you know, where it's an educational process, and the quicker we learn to defend ourselves equitably by... I don't know exactly how it's all going to go down, but I think truth is going to prevail. I think...
I agree. Let me ask you this, John. Okay, there's this advertising that the video lottery terminal people give to the newspapers, and the newspapers run the ads, and they get these helicopters and cars and perks. But what else do the newspapers need to do in return for that largesse, other than run ads and drive around in cars and fly around in helicopters? What part of their journalistic independence do they give up for this booty from these VLTs?
Yeah, well, there's no mathematics. Just like it is in America with Social Security, you get 2% on your return. On your trillion-dollar deposit, you're only getting 2%. So it's mathematics is forbidden, and instead we have I don't want to offend any of your listeners because I love the station so much, but we have what I would refer to as ideologues or statements like, well, you know, if they're willing to play, and they always do this one, you know, the government will take in more revenue and you'll pay less taxes, and it doesn't work that way. But that's all they have to say. They don't have to get into the specifics of economics or what a regressive system is. Like in the case that I told you about the mayors in these cities, they see the mathematics. They see we're losing here, but the newspaper ain't ever going to report it. They're going to say, the government's taking in more revenue, so as a consequence, naturally, your taxes will go down, but it doesn't work that way.
I want to share with you, John, hey, keep listening here. That ties right into what I just read, where they put a new Indian casino here in southwest Michigan, just south of Grand Rapids, between there and the Indiana line.
Okay.
A little town called New Buffalo.
Right.
And the newspaper reports are much along the lines of what you're saying. First of all, if government revenue is going up, that's automatically assumed to be a good. It doesn't matter if the people themselves are becoming impoverished.
Exactly.
Or if the average person can't afford to stay in their home. Hey, as long as the government's in the black, hey, we're all good, right?
And you know what's worse? Is that, of course, people are going to be spending less money. Poor people spend a higher percentage of their income paycheck to paycheck at the grocery store. And if you victimize them the most severely, the government will take in less revenue. And you will have ghost towns, as we do in Winnipeg. There are sections of our city are literally, it's like ghost town. There's businesses can't sell anything, so they go bankrupt. The poorest of the poor suffer the worst and all. Like I say, in Detroit, you want to raise up these almost ghetto-type situations. Stop depleting all the free cash, all the loose change in the pockets of these people who would be buying a quart of milk or a gallon of milk in your case or a loaf of bread, because all those loaves of bread.
Nobody forces them to go to buy a lotto ticket or to these terminals. It's their own free choice in a free market. What do you say to that argument?
There's a couple parts to that, but one part is if we want to do that and we think it would be a benefit, I'm getting lost, there's two, it gets a little complicated, but I know what the solution is. The solution is 100% payouts. If they say, well, we have to compete against the Indian casino, put out 100% cash payouts. There is nobody getting a multi-million-dollar salaries or trips around the world, because that's literally what these people are doing. In fact, I think Tommy Thompson, I can't remember what state he was in, Wisconsin, I think he was the governor of Wisconsin.
Right. Yep.
In his state, the lotteries is so corrupt, the state pays the lotteries to run. They're running in the red. And it's just a cash grab. And they go, well, we don't know what happened to all the money. And Tommy Thompson's is giving them hundreds of millions of dollars to keep them afloat because they don't know what happened to the money, man. And there, I don't know what I doubt they carry guns there, but it's the same kind of situation where the public is defeated because the math isn't allowed to be understood, and regressive tax systems don't fall into the dichotomies of left-wing, right-wing. It's a mathematical thing, you know, and we have problems like this all over. But I'd have to, you know, if, I should maybe go back to the subject. It's been a couple of years since I've written on it. I guess since Bush came into being, I've been all consumed by trying to defeat his irrational criminality against my world, of which I try to encourage others to understand is just as soon your own as well. When he deprives you a right to form a conclusion on who's good or evil, and then says if you don't agree with them, you're a terrorist, is incorrect. You'd be like pure, you'd be the evilest thing imaginable. I can't imagine anything more evil than that. You have no choice. You have no free will. You don't form your conclusions by what the Constitution or the Bill of Rights demands. You have to form your criminal allegations on evidence. And now you can arrest Americans without charge in a military brig and torture yourselves to death, according to Greenwald's newest article. And again, another one of so many incredible writers out there covering these issues. And yet, look at that. It's not on CNN. It's not on MSNBC. It's not in my local newspaper. It's probably not in yours either, you know. These guys are screwing us over. And as your guest said, you know, there's not very many of them, you know. We think they hold all the power, and really they're just a small group of a Kabbalah criminal. Well, not of course, there's a lot of people that work at the newspaper whose job responsibility isn't to defend the community, but to cover the bake, the recipes, and so on and so forth. And there's like one family that owns like 40 or 50 newspapers, you know. And if you don't follow the line, they'll just fire you. As it is with the Lottery Corporation, I know several people that work there, and there's no union. So part of the law, the rules there is you don't mention anything about politics. And when you do, you're just fired. Hey, you don't want your free car? And again, I have a great, I consider him a friend of mine. You know, he works there. He says, look, John, I can take the free car, you know, the $80,000 plus salary, and if I even take, not that he's taken any of these other perks, but there some of these guys go on trips around the world. You know, the head of the place's salary exceeds that of the prime minister or the president of the United States. You know, but he says, if I don't take this cash, I'm not going to have the job, and then somebody else is going to just as quickly get in there. And again, it's that same thing where the newspaper says, oh, no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Your taxes are going to go down, and yet our communities suffer. The poorest are hit the hardest, and they're making off like bandits, and I'm going to put a halt to it eventually here. I've just got to get a bunch of guys together and demand CNN start taking our calls. Or Coast to Coast Radio Network, George Norrie. He's telling us Ahmadinejad is a Holocaust denier. I want to challenge him personally on that, but maybe another time. Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call. I enjoy your show. I love RBN. You guys are fantastic. You know, you can't agree with everybody on all subjects, but you guys are doing a hell of a lot of good things there.
Well, the important thing is that things get out that otherwise wouldn't get out, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
But for thanks
sure.
for your eloquent explanation of these things. Yeah, to summarize, these joint operating agreements that have eliminated newspaper competition in Detroit and South Bend, Indiana, all over, leading them to one newspaper towns. You have, like you say, all these financial considerations that get in the way of true objective journalism. You have financial shakedowns portrayed as a cornucopia. You have all these things that are flipped on their head, and they contribute to this kind of false sense of prosperity that many of the things you described create, where we have a casino in a given town, and that's seen as de facto proof that happy days are here again, when in fact all casinos are, all gambling is just redistribution of wealth.
Mm-hmm. That's why I like the 100% payout. And you could, any politician who would say, well, we got to compete against this guy or that guy, well, then make it 100% payout, buddy. You'll bring in all, we could steal all of the Las Vegas crowds. You'd put an ad for Winnipeg and say, look, we're the only casino in North America that actually pays out 100%. Come to our city. You'll bring in the revenues. You'll bring in the people to stay at the hotels and buy groceries at the stores. And the city will become a paradise.
As opposed to just being a wealth transfer scheme from the poor to the rich.
Yeah.
Or from the lower middle class and depleting their savings, depleting the inheritances for their kids and grandkids.
Oh, it's terrible. The elderly get ripped the worst. You know, they get suckered into these things because they don't know. I'm going to go play keno, my mother says, and she doesn't understand.
I don't want to forget to mention, I don't mean to interrupt you at all, but a friend of mine, a New York attorney, Carl Pearson, who's been a guest on this show, who advocates less concentration of media ownership and advocates the proper and logical application of antitrust laws, real antitrust laws. He also has talked about this 100% payout that you've talked about. So this is not the first time I've heard that.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
And I guess for people, we only have a couple minutes before the break, but I appreciate you staying on so long. What does 100% payout mean? Just literally what it says?
Well, first of all, the scam has to be understood. They're substituting credits for dollars, and it's a bit of you have to be somewhat familiar with mathematics, and I would encourage anybody who's interested to read Stand Together or Don't and understand how that's done. And then it would be how much actual dollars are wagered. All that money's got to go back to the players in one way or another. You could have raffles at the front door. Everybody who walks in gets a ticket, and at the end of the evening, whatever excess cash is left unwon is given to the lucky guy. Oh, $30,000. And, man, that's like 80% of the cash. We're talking big bucks here.
That doesn't mean that everybody would win the same amount, but it does mean that the amount gambled that evening, 100% of that in one mix or another, one division or another would go back, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
if 100,000 was gambled by 100 people, then that 100,000 would come back, not necessarily in even shares, but that would come back.
Right. There would still be a gambling problem. People could still suffer and lose their money and cry about it. But at least it wouldn't be a regressive state where just it sucks for all people concerned. You could still you could still not gamble, and it would probably be your wiser bet. That 649 ticket would be a hell of a lot better, too. Like, I thought about redistributing the money there, and that would be awesome, man. Instead of winning 10 bucks, maybe 150.
But this means the odds of winning would be vastly improved, right?
No. Well, depending on how you divvied it up, but you could keep the odds the same, just increase the payouts on the smaller winnings instead of 10. Like I say, make that jack that up way up, way 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 up.
Right. Well, I mean, everybody would. Yeah. I mean, if gambling has to be in our society, that's at least a way to make it a little bit more.
Yeah, and you get rid of organized crime. You get all the people that are involved in organized criminal gambling are just run out of town. There's no money.
Thanks for being with us today, John.
All right, buddy.
Yep, we got some messages. Stay tuned, everyone, here on RBN. We got a few more minutes on today's World Collide. I'm Mark Anderson. I'll be right back.
And let's take a call. Let's go to Canada, to John. Hey, John, where are you in Canada?
I'm over here in Winnipeg, in Manitoba.
In Winnipeg, Manitoba. Okay. John, go ahead. What can we do for you this morning?
Well, I don't know how to break this to you, as you're probably well aware, though. You know, I'm watching American news. We get, of course, American channels and the Canadian channels, and Canadian channels don't fare too much better, but there's, like, different universes or different realities taking place here. I mean, I'm listening to RBN occasionally and the GCN and a couple other radio stations, and, there seems to be people who are honest with the truth, and then there seems to be some reason these TV pundits are trying to mislead Americans to die in causeless wars or sacrificing your lives by not supporting justice for ourselves. Where do we begin? You know, nabbing the guys for 9/11 would be a good idea, but even Iraq. I mean, you know, as these impeachment hearings were done just on Friday, I mean, it's disclosed that Bush for sure guaranteed without a shadow of a doubt con Congress. You know, they doctored the national intelligence estimate. They lied to Congress. I don't know whether you're familiar with this, but, you know, they doctored the national intelligence estimate. They said, this is what the CIA says about going to war against Iraq. And the White House doctored those documents, told lies to Congress, told lies to the American people, because we got both versions. We got the real version from the CIA, and we got Bush's version. I mean, this is...
Let me reassure you, John. We know all about everything
yeah.
you just said. I've written about it for years. I've broadcast, lectured about it. So, yes, John, let me at least reassure you on that one point. I'm totally familiar with everything that you've said. You haven't yet mentioned, but I know that you are aware of the Downing Street memo,
for example,
proving
yeah.
this whole thing was planned long before explosive incident. The thing was planned long in advance. It had nothing to do with 9/11. So,
yeah.
And of course, we know the situation here generally in the United States, and of course in Canada, we know that it's in many respects worse in Canada.
You know, I hate to say,
than it is here in the United States.
I hate to say it, you're right. You know, I've got a strange perspective on this situation. In Manitoba, we have really just one radio station and just one newspaper, and they're, you know, it's my own opinion, okay? I'm just one guy. I'm not telling you, you know, what anybody else thinks, but they're extremely evil. They're all out to con our kids, to con our soldiers to die. You know, I've done this, you know, 100 times. You contact them and say, listen, the FBI's formal conclusion is that General Ahmad financed this terrorist operation. If we're going to get the guys for 9/11, this is the guy to get. But he's Bush's business partner who worked on the invasion of Afghanistan strategy, according to Jim Mikliszewski over at MSNBC, who was provided the top secret presidential directive war strategy documents on how to invade Afghanistan, dated 2 days prior to 9/11. But you know what they tell me, Alan? Too many syllables. Soldiers don't have the minds for it, and they'd rather go the evil way, because the evil way is much easier. Just the Taliban are bad. Yeah, whatever, but what about the guy who financed this terrorist operation? They don't have an interest in informing our soldiers, and as a consequence, you know, not only American soldiers are dying, but Canadian soldiers are dying too. And when I stop them on the street, as I've done many times, they don't know nothing, you know, and they never threaten to kill me or even fight me. They're shocked or terrified, and you know, we need a way to communicate openly above and beyond the controls of how our...
You have found the way. This is, you're doing it right now. What you are saying right now, John, is being heard, and this is without exaggeration, literally around the world.
Yeah.
I get emails from people around the world.
Yeah.
Many other countries, people speak, they understand English. Trust me.
Yeah, but as you've been saying, and as others have said also, I mean, we've been at this for years, and there seems to be some reason why we can't communicate well enough to have soldiers take a stand for themselves. You know, I'm trying to encourage the listeners, not hosts for radio programs, but the listeners out there, pick up your phones and go, hey, I'm a soldier, perhaps. I want to support, I've taken an oath to God and country. I want to support the arrest of those who actually did us wrong on 9/11.
Very difficult. It's so soldiers cannot do this.
Yeah, I know.
You and I have.
What, so they say.
And we are doing it. So
yeah.
I'm very excited that you called. Please keep listening and call again. John, thank
Hurry
you
down.
So much for checking in. And,
okay.
And I hope you'll keep listening and call back
for sure.
Many times.
All right.
John in Winnipeg, thank you so much for your call.
I think it's 56 articles of impeachment. But the thing is it's a war of truth against those who want to pass falsehoods onto our communities, sacrifice our kids so they can further steal from our undefended selves. But the truth speaks for itself, you know. The White House doctored the National Intelligence Estimate on what the CIA's opinion was on invading Iraq, and they doctored the documents, and then gave those doctored documents to congressmen to say, yeah, well, the CIA, they think it's a pretty good idea. And then somebody from the CIA brought forward the original documents, so we have the both versions. We have the true version, and then we have the version that the White House doctored to con all ourselves to die as innocent victims. And, you know, over a million innocent people have died in Iraq as it is so far, and you know, Afghanistan, they want to increase the surge, which just means more soldiers. Do they operate judiciously to try to defend ourselves? No, they just indiscriminately slaughter people. You know, they kidnap people in Iraq into prisons without charge, military age males, and you know, things aren't going so bad, I guess, this week. But I mean, we just have over and over and over again, you know, just crimes against humanity, and they think that these soldiers are something we need to fear, and I think these soldiers are our families. These are good guys. They're generally stupid kids who don't know much. They're 18, 19 years old, watching CNN just like everybody else, without abilities to read text or do any research for themselves, trusting.
Right, right.
They're trusting that these people on TV are half honest. But just as I say, Kucinich is a congressman, and he's brought this to the floor. This is the second time. This evidence is rock solid. They had criminal intent. The Downing Street memos where they were trying to find a way to con people, to trick them into this conflict. And the whole reason is because if you follow the crime scene leads at 9/11, you find out it was financed by General Mahmoud Ahmad, according to the FBI. Our newspapers, our television stations, our radio stations, they don't want to inform ourselves. They think it's too embarrassing. They want to make us look stupid. Kill our kids instead and tell them the Taliban did it. You know, we have Carter, the Canadian citizen. He was in Afghanistan being arrested, and it turns out in his court trial, the prosecution provided the defense the facts that he originally was on his knees handcuffed and they shot him in the back. They didn't accuse him of hurting a soldier anywhere. It was just another one of these soldiers, of which there's plenty to go, documented histories, like Pantano, who Witterich, he just shot four kids in the back. I'm innocent until proven guilty. You take me to court. We got the photographs. He admits shooting the kids in the back, and he doesn't go to prison. They say he's innocent, but he admits committing the crime. We have photographs of the corpses, so it's not beyond a possibility for these kind of things to be transpiring. But we find out in the court case with Cotter, through the prosecution, that they made up a fake allegation later. So they got the military police report from when Cotter was arrested and shot in the back, and in there's no allegation that he's part of any criminal conspiracy or tried to kill any or actually murdered a single soldier. And it turns out that when they tracked down the soldier that did die, that they accused Cotter for, and they executed some other guy for that. They already killed probably a kid who they said killed the soldier, but now they find out Cotter, a Canadian citizen. They want to execute or have indefinitely incarcerated Canadian citizen. They fraudulently made allegations up later, and it's been disclosed in the courtroom. Now, the problem is, his lawyer doesn't want to speak out. He's too scared. So he was on, sort of speaking. The Globe and Mail has talked about this, but he's not strong enough. He needs a lawyer. I want to be Cotter's lawyer. I want to defend this Canadian citizen. These are demon enemy savages who refuse to support the American FBI, who refuse to support Willie Nelson, has come out again the other day saying, hey, this is really serious. You can't let these guys escape prosecution while they take us into another conflict with 60 million people.
There's Jesse Ventura's come out, too.
And he came out again. He was on Fox News the other day. He says, we don't want to arrest Bin Laden. If we arrest Bin Laden, where would we get our boogeymen from?
Right.
And where's the crime scene? And the other reason, the primary reason they don't want him arrested is because where's your evidence, man? You know, we know it's financed by Bush's buddy. And CBC, the greatest news institution in Canada, serving our interests, doesn't care. They don't put in the effort to defend ourselves. They'd rather see your son and daughter die. Your 16, 17, just ready to turn 18 kid die who watches the news thinking the Taliban is evil. And the fact is, they're fighting with the Muslim fundamentalists who kill Christians and push dope into our streets. These are the bad guys who demand women wear burqas. Under the Taliban, women were working at the Kabul newspaper. They didn't have to wear burqas, according to the author of The World's Most Dangerous Places. He's on the scene the week prior to 9/11, writing a book about these heroic men who are defending women's rights, demanding slavery be outlawed. They had a lot of problems. I'm not saying they were incredible fathers of the Constitution or anything, but they're a hell of a lot better than what they're fighting side by side with now, where they just kill somebody because you're a Christian. And the Quran's all about Christ and Mother Mary, but people don't care. Yeah, that's your opinion. Bullshit. And Mother Mary's probably mentioned, I don't know, man, 2,000 times? People, so what? I didn't hear about it, and who are you anyway? Who is this guy on the radio speaking about indivisible freedoms we all share equitably? If you people would wake up and start demanding likewise defenses be brought forward with reason. We need to form our conclusions by fact, not by threat.